Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And joining us right now, legal analyst from Breitbart News, Ken Klukowski, to give us his take away from yesterday's Supreme Court decision, specifically on the Texas abortion clinic law. Ken, thanks for joining us. This was a 5-3 decision, Justice Kennedy providing the swing vote. He definitely moved to the left here. But Kennedy is the man who created the quote-unquote undue burden provision, which said that states could regulate abortion as a medical procedure. Duh, they should be able to regulate it, but not if it creates an undue burden for a woman in obtaining her constitutionally protected right to an abortion. So how did the Texas law, in Kennedy's mind, create an undue burden?
Well, that's right, Larry. In 1992, the Supreme Court was given the opportunity to overrule Roe versus Wade. And Justice Kennedy, along with Sandra Day O'Connor and David Hackett Souter, the three of them wrote a joint opinion where they said that abortion was not, as Roe had cast it, a fundamental constitutional right. And also that Roe was not subject to what, that abortion is not subject to what Roe created in terms of a trimester framework, that what your constitutional rights were depended on which trimester your pregnancy was in.
Right.
They said instead that the line is at viability, and before viability, a state can impose any burdens, any restrictions on abortion that are not an undue burden to a woman seeking an abortion, and that after viability, a state can impose any restriction on abortion so long as it's reasonable. Now, ever since that day, Kennedy had professed pro-life sentiments during the 1980s. So that was shocking to conservatives when he did that in 1992, essentially coming out pro-abortion. Ever since 1992, for the following 20 years, every time an abortion case went to the U.S. Supreme Court, Kennedy voted pro-life. And it looked more and more that he was saying, I think there is a right to have an abortion, but it's a minimal right. You can regulate the heck out of it. We saw that most recently in 2007 when he was the vote to uphold the federal ban on partial birth abortion. You read his decision in 07. You read his dissenting opinions from 2000 and previous years, and he sounds halfway pro-life in those
decisions. So what happened here?
Yesterday was a huge change, and no one can explain it.
Well, did he? I mean, I'm sorry, but I got. I mean, to present that a law creates an undue burden and to say that that is the jurisprudence being used here to overturn a law, don't you have to cite something? Don't you have to cite some evidence to say, and here's what that burden was? What is the burden on a woman in Texas trying to get an abortion under these safe conditions?
Justice Breyer went on for more than a dozen pages talking about this. I was an attorney working on this case. I represented SBA List and Concerned Women for America. So I know this case very well. I was one of the lawyers on it. This law appears tailor-made to exactly fit everything that Kennedy said in 2007 and in 2000 that he would be willing to sustain. It's now they're saying, in fact, I'd encourage all of your listeners, go to the opinion, read Justice Thomas's dissent, where he just deconstructs the majority opinion and shows that now the Supreme Court majority is like revising the 1992 Casey decision, revising it upward back in the direction of Roe v. Wade, raising the bar to one that very, very few laws could satisfy.
I see the Associated Press and their story on this, and their lead line is as follows. By striking down tough abortion restrictions in Texas, the U.S. Supreme Court has emboldened abortion rights activists nationwide and, quote, imperiled a range of anti-abortion laws in numerous states. So are there other laws now that are at danger as a result of this ruling yesterday by the High Court?
You know, when the AP screws up reporting on a Supreme Court case, I can never figure out if they're just lying through their teeth or if they have no clue what they're talking about, because I think you can flip a coin on that. They're right in terms of the political impact. They're wrong in terms of saying that this was a tough abortion law. All this said was that abortion is a surgical procedure. All it said was if you're going to get abortion in Texas, the doctor performing it must have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles so that he can go with you and treat you if something bad happens to you. We already know something bad is happening to the baby. And secondly, that abortion facilities must meet all the sanitation and equipment standards of an urgent care, of an ambulatory surgical center. That's all it required. It said the operating rooms have to be clean, and the doctor has to be able to go to a real hospital if something goes bad. That's not a tough abortion law. That is a common sense provision to protect women's health. But yes, this decision going the way that it did, I think it is now hard to conceive of any pro-life legislation that would pass muster under this current court, meaning that if Hillary Clinton wins, there will be no pro-life victories probably during the next presidential administration, that nothing will happen unless Donald Trump were to win the presidency and follow through on his promise, replacing not just the irreplaceable Antonin Scalia, but also now we need a second conservative justice added to the court in order for pro-life legislation to really be able to soar. It's hard to see what kind of law can pass if yesterday's law could not.
Ken, you always give us great information, but I got to tell you, we only have about a minute left here, and you're sort of already getting to what I'm trying, what I want to ask you, which is we always hear from the left, we hear from Hillary Clinton all the time. They want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare. Based on what you saw yesterday from the Supreme Court, what law can be passed here, like the law in Pennsylvania that came in reaction to the House of Horrors in the Kermit Gosnell abortion factory? What law can a state now pass that will, in fact, make abortion safe and maybe rare?
It's quite possible none. This law in Texas was passed in reaction to Kermit Gosnell. That is exactly why this law was passed. And so this is to make abortion, you know, pro-lifers want it to be legal and rare. This law was just about making it safe.
Yeah, forget about this isn't even a pro-life thing. This is about making sure that if a woman goes and gets her constitutionally protected abortion, that something disgusting, horrible, and deadly doesn't happen like what happened in Philadelphia with Dr. Gosnell.
That's right. And because this law was only such a tangential burden on abortion, this is where I was absolutely shocked that the court ruled the way it did. And beyond that, in the few seconds that we had, the court should never even have heard this case. This is the second lawsuit brought by the same plaintiffs under what's called the doctrine of res judicata. Once you've had your day in court, the case is over. You can't file a new lawsuit just because you didn't like the result. And that was Justice Alito's dissent. He goes on for dozens of pages about how the court was throwing out 200 years of judicial rules in terms of even being willing to reconsider the merits of this case. And a lot of people are deeply concerned in terms of why was the court so bent on saying, we will rule on this, and we're going to strike it down.
Yeah. All right. Ken Klukowski, legal analyst, Breitbart News. We've got to leave it there, but thank you for joining us. Always good stuff, and we look forward to talking to you during the next Supreme Court session. Yeah. We got to come
up with
some reason to talk to Ken over
the
summer.
It, Brian,
but
right.
Thank you,
Ken. Thanks,
Ken. But boy, oh boy, you know, if you're concerned about issues like this, boy, this makes this November election that
so
much more important.
Important.
More important as just in terms of the Supreme Court, when you look at the ages of the justices, and
I would not be surprised to see a retirement announcement anytime soon. I wouldn't be surprised at all.